thank you for joining us for another powerful message from the teaching ministry of Destiny Church. We hope that you'll be challenged and stretched to grow through today's message. But most of all, we hope that you'll encounter the Father's love. If you're in the greater Mobile Bay Area, please join us for our weekend worship celebration. Or if you're looking for a church family excited for a revival, please come join us in bringing heaven to earth.
We're in this series called Legacy. It's about making my life matter. And when you die, I know a lot of people talk about what they want on their tombstones and what they want people to say. Honestly, I don't care about what people say about me when I'm dead. I'm not going to be here, and I'm not going to care what they say. I'm concerned about what people say about me in this life. And I'm not talking about I'm concerned about what people say, if it's good or bad. I'm concerned about the people who know me, because the people who know me, the people who know you, they will say things that are accurate about you. Right. See, people say stuff about me all the time that's not accurate, but it's like you don't know me. I mean, I've been called a liar. I've been called a narcissist. I've been called a pervert. I've been called all kinds of things by people that I'm like, wow, you don't really know me. Right. And I'm just telling you, man, I've been called some bad stuff. You've probably been called some bad stuff. But it's like, if you're not truly in community with me, it doesn't matter what you say about me. It doesn't matter what you say about me. I'm only concerned about what people say about me that is the truth. Because the truth is really what will remain. It's really what will last. It's really what will play out in my legacy. So you're going to have to learn as you go through life. You're going to have to filter out that crap. Excuse my French. But you're going to have to filter out that crap that is like what the enemy says about you, which is lies, and what the truth about you really is. And so as we live out our legacy, I want my life to matter. I want my life to make an impact on people. I want my life to influence others. And Betty Cottrell, Paul's wife, she shared something on one of our Facebook groups, and then we talked about it a little bit at the retreat. And I said, Betty, man, I'm really trying not to make this about me. But I said, I'm telling you what, like when I hear that testimony that you just gave, it validates me. It really does. It validates me because I've been teaching you stuff. Like I've been teaching you that stuff. And then to see you go and live that out and bear fruit of that, it lets me know somebody really is soaking up the goodness of God through the fruit of the word. You see what I'm saying? I'm just telling you, man, that makes me feel good about me. It's all right for you to want to feel good about you. You know what I'm saying? Because it lets you see the legacy is being picked up by future generations and other people. Amen? I'm telling you what. Sometimes I get discouraged, and I was talking a little bit this morning to our volunteers. Sometimes I get a little discouraged when I look at I'm talking about my life, okay? My life. I'm the preacher today. It's my illustrations. It's my life, okay? I get frustrated and discouraged from time to time when it's like, man, I've been preaching this a long time and I ain't really seeing no fruit, or I'm seeing very little fruit, or it looks like the little fig tree. Sometimes I want to be like Jesus, and I'll just use Butch as an example. This is an example, hypothetical, okay? Man, hypothetical, but you're fixing to get slapped, Butch. Sometimes I feel like Jesus, and I walk by the fig tree Butch, and that thing ain't bearing no fruit. And I just want to say, you fixing to die, boy. Touch you and it withers. Because I'm tired of that one. It ain't bearing no fruit. Sometimes I feel that way, man. I'm just being honest with you. It's like, y'all better be glad I ain't Jesus, you know? Or you better be glad that Jesus don't let me be me, you know? But there are times I look at my family, looking at my kids. Hey, kids, if y'all are watching today. Sometimes I look at my kids and I'm like, they ain't picking it up. Amen. And they're 30 and they're 26. I already had it by then. Like, when are y'all gonna pick it up? It's not that they're bad. It's just I'm leaving a legacy. Are y'all gonna start living it anytime? Are you gonna pick it up? I don't want it to die with me. I want it to go on. You know, and these are real life thoughts. But here's the thing about a legacy. Sometimes, well, not sometimes, all the time. It takes a lifetime. You're building it, man. It's a journey. It takes time to build it. And we have to have patience and we have to stick with it. And hopefully you'll see some of this from the scripture today out of Jesus' life. I'm telling you what, man, if you ever are suffering, going through any situation, look at Jesus and see like what he did. Because scripture says he was tempted in all ways as we were. It doesn't really mean tempted as in, you know, he had all these temptations. It just tried. He was tried. He experienced like everything in principle, it might not have been the same exact thing, but there's a principle that he experienced that you could apply to that situation. Might not be the exact situation, but a principle that he experienced that you can apply. So you just go to Jesus' life and you look at Jesus and you go, Jesus, what did you do? Because I'm just saying, if you look at God, he's a failure. If you look at Jesus, he's a failure if we measure him by our standards. Giselle said it so perfectly today. You look at God, he's the creator. He is perfect in every way. He creates failures. He created Adam and Eve, set them up for perfection at Garden of Eden, like couldn't get any perfect, and they failed. So do you judge the parent by the kids? No. Do you judge the discipler by the disciples? No, because if you do, Jesus was a failure. You know, Judas, that's a colossal failure. Then there were multiple people that never even took him up on his offer. Come and follow me. And the guy goes away sadly because he's like, I can do all those things, but I can't do that one thing. You can have everything, but you can't have my kingdom. You can have my money. You can have my stuff. You know, well, he's not Lord. Part of our legacy. He is not Lord if he doesn't have all of our stuff. He's your Savior, but he ain't your Lord. Like, you ain't going to hell. He's your Savior. You're going to heaven. But is he Lord of all? You know? There are so many people throughout Scripture that Jesus, he invested in, or he was willing to invest in, and they walked away sadly. They did not take him up on the offer. And it was their loss, obviously, not his. Today, as I talk to you, I'm going to talk to you from Matthew chapter 26. 26 verses 36 through 46. That ought to be easy to remember. 26, 36, 46. Go there in Matthew, and we're going to see, you know, some of how Jesus interacted when it came to this subject of prayer. Now, I'm just going to tell you, prayer is one of those things that until you really get it, I'm 56 years old. I've been in ministry for 30 years. I've been saved for 35 years. I still don't know that I've completely got this whole prayer thing. I'm still understanding and growing in it more and more every day. I don't feel inadequate. I feel adventurous. I don't feel inadequate that I don't know everything I need to know. I feel adventurous. I'm like, what new do you have to teach me today, Lord, about prayer? What new do you have to teach me about this, that, or the other? But as we talk about the prayer today, I want to just start off with this thing that I know everybody has experienced this at least one point in their life. Telemarketers. Anybody ever experienced telemarketers before? How many of you love to get those robocalls and those, you know, robocalls are a little different than telemarketer. At least you get a live person. But you get these telemarketer calls, and you know, they just irritate you. They just irritate you. And sometimes it's not even a telemarketer call, but you're on tech support. And then have you ever realized on some tech support that they're reading from a script? Now, some of them are so good, you don't know they're reading from a script until you're into it and you realize, oh, there's somebody sitting at a screen and they're saying, and Mr. Stewart, today, I just wanted to remind you, and you realize they're reading from a script. So I thought we were having a conversation. I thought it was real and personal, all the way up to, oh, you say this to everybody, and you say it this way, and you say it with this intent, like you have an agenda to get me from here to here. And I'm sitting there like, wow. I could not be the person on the other end of that phone call that it's like, you know, hey, I'm so lazy. I don't have to, I don't have to think about this. I'm just reading this down through there. And you can tell, because if they're not a good reader, yeah, you can. They got these hiccups. You follow me? They've got these hiccups. And so you know they're not real. Can I tell you, there are times when we're like that in our prayer life.
Come on, man. That's good.
Like, how many times is heaven receiving our telemarketing?
Yeah.
And we're calling God, and we're reading from a script. How many times are we calling heaven, and we're basically, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get something from heaven. That's what telemarketers are doing. They're trying to get you to buy something, but they're trying to get something from you. How many times are we calling heaven? Have we reduced our prayer life to, we're telemarketers? Hey God, I've got this really cool investment. Okay, I want you to partner with me in this, God. You know, so I want this guy, dude, he's super hot. Well, I'm a guy, so let me change it to a female. All right. So there's this girl. She's super hot. She's all this, she's all that, she's all that, blah, 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 blah. But there's all these other things that are wrong. And we know that this is not who God wants us to partner with. But we're trying to convince God, because we got all of these reasons why we want this, but we know that's not the thing that God would have for us, because we have this right here already. And we know that that relationship already violates so many things here, but because we want it, we call God and we're trying to get him to partner with what we're doing. You know, we do this all the time. We do it out of motive. We do it out of like formality. That's just where I was at certain points in my prayer life. I just did stuff out of formality. And I did it because that's what I was supposed to do. And I was taught things very sincerely, but sincerely wrong. I was taught that if you didn't pray an hour, that's not real prayer. So I got prayer shamed a lot when I was younger. Where do we get that? Well, we get that from one of the scriptures that Jesus said, can you not stick with it an hour, guys, you know? And so what do? We take that and we go, well, God must want us to pray for an hour, at least an hour, because Jesus said, can you not? Well, maybe, maybe not. But that particular instance, they build a whole theology of prayer on, a whole doctrine of prayer. And so I got prayer shamed a lot when I was younger, until I grew up and realized, oh, prayer is not that formula. Prayer is something much richer and deeper. And so, you know, when we look at prayer, we look at how, I'm telling you what, this is what a legacy is. Just get us back to our foundation. This is what a legacy is. It's the lasting impact of particular past events or actions of a person's life on another. All right? Lasting impact of particular past events or actions on my life, or you leave it on somebody else's life. Can I tell you, this is not to bash any of my family members. It's just where they were. See, I got saved at almost the same time my parents got saved, except we were decades apart. My parents got saved in their 50s. I got saved when I was a teenager. They're learning the same things about God that I'm learning, decades apart. And so as we're learning things together, my parents did not leave. They left me a lot of legacies, but they didn't leave me a legacy of prayer. I can't remember. Now, I remember my dad praying over dinner. I've told you that story before. My dad used to pray over our meals before we were ever Christians. And it was this simple, forgive me, elementary prayer. God is good. God is great. Let us thank him for our food. You know, that prayer. We prayed that every time we sat down to eat dinner, but that was a ritual. That was basically people who weren't religious, but they had religion. Or they didn't have religion, but they were religious. You know what I'm saying? And so those words didn't mean anything to me. That was like reciting ABCs over my dinner. We didn't know anything about God. I wasn't raised in kids' church. wasn't raised in youth group. None of that. You know, that's just something we did. And, you know, you took your cap off, you came to the to the table with a shirt on. At my house, you didn't show up without a shirt at the table. You showed up a certain way, and we had these rituals, and part of our ritual was this prayer that meant nothing to me. It might have meant to my dad, but see, that's the only thing I remember. I never really remember my dad praying. Never. I'm not saying he didn't. I'm saying he didn't leave that legacy to me. My mama didn't leave. I never in my life remember hearing my mom pray. To this day, she's 91. I don't ever remember hearing her pray. This is not to bash my mom or dad. They were where they were. They were growing at whatever pace. But now when I started dating my wife, when we were teenagers, her parents were far, far, far advanced in their spiritual walk than my parents. And I remember hearing my mother-in-law, future mother-in-law at that time. I remember her praying in the spirit. I would go to drop Shay off, you know, on dates. And I told you that story before. You know, I'm just interested in dropping my date off and getting me a little shug, you know, at the door. And I'm dropping her off, and I'm walking her up to the door, looking forward to that midnight sugar, you know, or not midnight. I had to drop her off by 10 o'clock, but you know. God forbid, I'm telling you, that wouldn't have happened. But as I'm dropping her off at the door, I remember hearing her pray in the spirit. And that is a sugar mood killer. I'd have killed the mood real fast. But I'm dropping her off and I hear her mom praying in the spirit and calling out the names of her kid. And you know, for those of y'all who've heard the story, I'm like, I wonder now as an adult, was that even real? Was she peeking out between the window, you know, just to kill my mood? You know, I don't know if it was real or not, but it was real. My mother-in-law left a legacy of prayer to me. Because I remember hearing her cry out to the Lord. I remember the sincerity in her voice. I remember the tears that she shed. I remember just the hunger that she had. And I remember having this tug at my heart as a young teenager. Like, I want to pray like that. I want to pray like that. Listen, Jesus, out of all of the names that he gave his house, he didn't say, my house will be called a house of revival. I know we're all about revival. We want revival. He didn't say, my house will be called a house of kingdom investors. You know, all of those are things, yes, it's part of it. But what he did say is, my house will be called, above all other things, a house of prayer. A house of prayer. It's not what kind of donuts you have in the commons area. It's not how great your children's ministry is, your youth ministry is. It's not how great your teaching ministry is. It's not great how your visuals, how great your building, how great your missions, all of that. It's How are we at prayer? Because this is the scripture. Jesus, when he went into the temple, he threw out all those who were selling and buying there. See, they had made it into something that it wasn't supposed to be. He pushed over the tables used for the currency exchange and the chairs of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of crooks or thieves." What had happened, not to go too deep into this, what had happened is, you know, there are people who aren't really even Christians. There are people who aren't really even Jews. That they are literally setting up in the commons area out there, and they're doing exchanges, selling items for doves to be offered up. But they're not interested in the offering up of God's sacrifice. They're just interested in making money.
Right.
That's what they're interested in. And he's saying, what you guys have done is you've infiltrated. There are people who aren't even believers who are operating here. And you are making a corruption of the house of God. And he's like, I'm telling you what, this place is not going to be about that. This place is going to be a place of prayer. And every church in every city, in every nation, in every country on the earth should be known as a house of prayer. Like, I don't know if they can do this. I don't know if they can do this. I don't know how their children's ministry is, youth ministry is, missions ministry, or if they've got the best facility. But do they know how to pray? Do they know how to get in touch with God? Do they know how to have results in their prayer life? This is what I want you to take away today. A legacy of prayer that I leave leads someone to a lifetime of victories. Every parent wants their child to succeed. And I'm going to tell you what's wrong with the United States. I've committed this in my family with my children. Please don't do it. For those of you who have smaller children, that you still have children in your house, don't make some of the same mistakes I made. Learn from my mistakes. My parents made this mistake, and I can't tell you about my grandparents because they were just dirt poor. We were poor, but they were dirt poor. And you know why you're dirt poor, right? Because your house doesn't have a floor and it's dirt. I'm telling you, that's how poor my grandparents were. Every parent wants their child to succeed. Every parent wants their children to have it better than they had it. Can I just tell you, that's not a good idea. Your children need to be tried in the fire. Your children need to know what it's like to not have stuff and have to work for it. I'm not talking about them going in lack. I'm talking about them lacking it. There's a difference between lacking something and being in lack.
Yeah.
See, I lack a lot of things, but if I want it, I'll go get it.
Yeah.
I'll figure out how to go get it. And we need to teach our children how to go get some stuff yourself. But what we've done is we want our children to have it better than we had. We don't want you to work as hard as we had to work. I'm just telling you, I made some mistakes. I made some of those mistakes in my family. And you know what it does? It raises a bunch of soft kids.
Yeah.
It raises a bunch of people that don't have a work ethic. It raises a bunch of kids who are entitled, who think that they own everything. I want my kids, you want your kids, we want people to win at life. And the best way to teach them to win at life is not by giving them everything, is I'm going to tell you what, this is the best one, to leave them a legacy of prayer. Because if you don't have it, you can get it. How? Through prayer. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. Rife is not saying this. This is what the Bible says. That if you lack anything, ask the Father. What is it? Prayer. If you lack anything, ask the Father. If you need it, ask the Father. If you want it, ask the Father. If you need to win, ask the Father. Everything you do, go and ask the Father. How do I know that? Because John 16:33 says this. Hey, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. In the world, you're going to have trouble. In the world, you're going to have obstacles. In the world, you're going to have things that get in your way. But take heart. I have overcome the world. So you can overcome the world. If I overcame the world, Jesus says, you can overcome the world. So throughout your teaching of your kids, the things that you want to leave them, you want to leave them a legacy of prayer, because prayer is the key that if you lack anything, you can go to God and you can have a victory. If there's a tumor in your stomach and you know how to pray, you have a victory. If there's a lack in your bank account, you can go to God and there will be supply there. If you have a lack of knowledge or you need an answer to something, go to God and that's where you'll get the truth. Anything that they need, they can go to God in prayer. It's the best legacy that we can leave them. See, we've made a priority of everything else except the priority. I'm going to say it again. We've made priorities of everything else except the priority. And the priority is this, Matthew 6:33, which is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is his right ways of living. Seek the kingdom of God and his right ways of living, and everything else will come your way. Like if you just seek God, everything else will come after come your way. But we've made priorities of everything else. We've made gods of everything else except the one true God. And we want to set them up for financial success. I'm just telling you, I know a bunch of screwed up people who are extremely wealthy. I know a bunch of families that are so dysfunctional and they are multimillionaires. I know these people personally. I know people who they've got any kind of gadget. I'm telling you, people that I know personally, people in my own family. I told you this is my story, so I can use my peeps. I know people personally in my family that if you ask them, they got it. Not only do they got it, but they got three of them. I'm serious as a heart attack. They'll just go to their garage and they're like, here, you can have it. But man, that's $1,000. I got two others. And they are dysfunctional and they are not happy. But they got all the stuff. But it's the wrong priorities. It's the wrong priorities. We've made priorities of everything. Your education. I'm telling you what, your education, all that can be gone tomorrow. Your health, it could be gone tomorrow. You're fit. You got, you know, you're slim, trim. You got all the, you know, right body measurements. But I'm telling you what, that can be gone tomorrow. Yeah. But when you have prayer, you go to God in prayer. Some of the sweetest times that I've had with my kids is when I've prayed with them. I'm telling you what, I've taught my kids to pray. Sometimes I'm like, you know, you can do this on your own, right? Because my kids still call me, and they still, and I hope they always do. But there are times with my kids, I'm like, you know, you don't have to call Dad to pray about this, right? Pray for you. I get it. But you can do this yourself. That's what I've taught you to do. Some of my most precious times I remember about prayer, and this is part of the building of the legacy, is when Noah, you know, was in high school. Like he's in high school. He's not a kid, but he's still a kid. And I would go into his room at night, and I could tell something was bothering him or whatever. And this is how I was with my son. You know, I mean, I'm super tender guy with my kids. And you know, I'd climb up into bed with my kids. I mean, he's 17 years old. I'm climbing up into bed with him, and we're just talking, just, you know, at the end of the day. And he's like, Dad, would you pray for me? And I'm like, yeah, buddy, what can I pray for you about? And we would hold hands, be laying, you know, he'd be laying right here and I'd have his hand here. We'd just be, the fact that he values prayer and that he knows his dad can pray for him. And I'm sitting there praying for him. And then now, Savannah, she'll call me from time to time, and she'll be like, you know, Dad, I'm about to go into this interview, or I'm about to go into this, you know, screening or whatever, and will you pray for me because, you know, I'm feeling this or that. And, man, for me to just pray peace over her. And The other day, she had called me about something, and she was feeling some anxiety, which that's a demon. That's a demon. It's attacking this generation. Like these last few generations, it's attacking these younger generations like never before, anxiety. I'm like, man, I ain't even heard of anxiety. Never, you know, when I was a kid and everything, I'm like, oh, we didn't deal with any of that mess. You know, you dealt with it, but you dealt with it. But now it's like, it's immobilizing. It's a big demon. And so she calls me and she's really anxious and I just said to her, have you prayed about it? Like, have you prayed about this? Because I've taught you to pray about things. I've taught you, like, have you taken it to the Father? Have you taken it to Jehovah Shalom? Like, see, I'm going to get to that hopefully here in a minute. But it's important to know who God is. Like, he's not just God up there that's this big, nebulous, ambiguous thing. Oh, he's our Father, and he's a God of peace, Jehovah Shalom. What you need right now, you need Jehovah Shalom. Like, you're calling your daddy for peace, but you understand your daddy only gets it from our daddy. Like, I mean, I love that you're getting it from me, but I'm not going to be here forever. Like, I need for you to get it from straight from the source. I'm like, let's pray right here. You know, we begin to pray. And so what am I doing? Like, she hadn't fully, she's not running with the legacy that I left her. Maybe she won't run with it until I'm not here anymore. But it's another building block of that legacy of prayer that I'm leaving her. So a legacy of prayer leads someone to this lifetime of victories. I love it when I get those follow-up calls. How'd your screening go? Oh, Dad, it was amazing. And it's like, see, that's the kind of God we serve. Yeah. I knew you could do it. I knew God would come through. I love those follow-ups because it's like we see the fruit and we help them see the fruit. Now, I'm talking in the context of my children, but this could be in the context of anybody you come across during the course of your life, during the course of your day. Amen? Let's read Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. We're going to start at 26, verse 36. This is where Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. I need you to understand the context where we are here. This is at the end of Jesus' ministry. It's almost at the end of his earthly life. Well, it is at the end of his earthly life. All right? You follow me? Jesus has had these guys around him for how many years?
Three and a half.
All right? He's poured into them for 3.5 years. 3.5 years is a minute, okay? That's a season that he's been pouring into them. And listen, they've been living together, traveling together, day in, day out. All right? So they should know a little bit about Jesus. Here they are. They just ate the Last Supper with Jesus. We call it the Last Supper. It's their last meal. It's the meal before he's crucified, man. And he just told them all these things that are about to happen. He just told Peter, Peter, shut up. You're going to deny me. You know, not me, Lord. I'll, you know, go to the, and he's like, shh, be quiet. You will deny me 3 times before the crow even calls out in the morning. You're going to do this. Old Judas is already out, you know, ready to betray him. Like these are his guys that are closest to him. I need you to hear me and I need you to follow this, my friends. Because in real life, you are going to have people sitting at your table that they are not for your good, that you've poured your life into. You are going to see people betray you that you Jesus knew, but you won't necessarily know. And they're going to betray you, and they're going to let you down, and they're going to deny you. Not me. I'll be beside you. Pastor, I'll be with you. And, you know, hey, buddy, I'm with you on this project. Hey, man, we're business partners for life. You know, yeah, you're going to have all these people that'll come, and they will let you down, and you have poured into, and you expected more, and it's going to be a disappointment. And it's like, man, I wasted my time on these people. You're going to feel that. You're going to feel that. I just wonder how Jesus must have felt. Like, are you kidding me? Three and a half years, every day. I mean, we walked all over the place. They saw me do miracles. And this is what I'm leaving behind? Like, this is what I'm fixing to place the future of the church in the hands of these guys? All right? And so, here he is. This is the context. These are not just good old boys that joined the team yesterday. This is where we are. And Jesus, he takes the cream of the crop with him to pray. He's not taking all of them. He's just taking three. These are the teacher's pets. You know what I'm saying? What do they call them? Magna cum laude and summa cum. These are the valedictorians of the disciples, man. These are those guys. He takes the three with him. And so then Jesus went, verse 26, then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And he said, sit here while I go over there to pray. He took Peter, Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. And he told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. And he went on a little farther, bowed his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. He prays a little bit, and then in verse 40, he goes and he returns to the disciples. And man, they're slobbering on their pillows over there. They're asleep. And he said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you'll not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing and the body is weak. That's super important. Yeah. He's telling Peter, I know you're with me in spirit, but the body is weak. And that's one, man, we got good intentions, but it's this old flesh suit that we walk around in that's weak, it's willing, unwilling. Emotions are a part of this that get in the way. I'm just telling you guys, listen, I'm telling you, if I was anybody else, I probably would have stayed home in bed this morning because, one, I woke up with a splitting headache. Two, this old body is tired and exhausted from serving our wonderful women this weekend. So, why do I even come to church? Well, you're the boss. You're the pastor. You're the leader. You got to go. It's your job. And while there may be a degree of truth to that, I am not here because of any of that. I am here because, one, I know that God's going to heal me of the headache. I know. I've seen this happen before. Go to church, get involved, get involved in worship, and I'm just telling you, I've seen this time and time again. God heals my headache. It just goes away. And I'm here because I love Jesus. I'm here because I wanted to experience, Hunter, what you created. I'm here because, now I don't know all these people in here if they know all those songs, but to me, every song you sang, I knew, and it connected with me at a deep place. Why? Because there's a legacy of worship and praise in me that somebody else left me. And so some of those songs we don't necessarily sing in church today on a regular basis, but man, they start tapping on that praise and worship legacy that I grew up with. And I'm like, man, that's just, I love this. It's just, it's incredible for me. So I came because I wanted to be a part of that. I came because I have a word today. Now, you understand, I've got people I could have asked, you know, several in this room, I could have asked to fill this. No, I have a word that God is wanting to deliver, and he gave it to me to deliver it to this house and the house that's watching. So here we go. We're looking, and he's saying, can you just not stay with me? And then Let me see. Was that verse 40? 42. Then Jesus left a second time and he prayed. So he's going back. He's, Father, if this cup can be taken away, if it can't be taken away unless I drink of it, then your will be done. When he returned to them again, he found them asleep, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. Man, what is up with these guys? So he went to pray a third time, saying, same thing again. Then he came back to the disciples and he said, go ahead, sleep. He's just ticked now. He's like, for the love of me, just sleep. Just go ahead and sleep. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up. Let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here. Jesus, what I wanted you to see from this, Jesus is leaving them a legacy. It does not look like it's taken root. It's like, Jesus over here praying his heart out, man. When I say Jesus is praying his heart out, the scripture says, other places in scripture, the scripture says his sweat. Literally, there was this medical process that was happening, and his sweat was, he was bleeding through his sweat. And it became, that's an intense prayer, dude. And he's over here sweating blood, and they're slobbering. And he's going, he goes back. And it's like, I get it one time. Like, dude, come on. Drink a, you know, Red Bull or something. Like, do something. Wake yourself up. Three times, man, he goes back. And he's pouring his life literally out and into these guys. And it does not look like it's being very fruitful. And this is the top of the class? This is what I want us to understand. That leaving a legacy doesn't always look like it's working. But leave it. You keep doing what you're doing. Be consistent. Keep doing what you're doing. Even if you don't see fruit, keep doing what you're doing. All right? Because here's the thing, man, is that Jesus, he gets taken, he's crucified. We know all of that's done to fulfill scripture. But these guys who end up denying him, who end up doing the very things that Jesus told him not to do. Like if you keep a watch on their life, and here's the ticket of legacy. It takes time to see that played out. Don't give up on people. Don't give up. Don't lack faith in the legacy that you're leaving. Don't lack faith in the legacy that you're building because you don't see the fruit yet. Because when you begin to look at their life, and we have the privilege of looking at this because it's history. We have the privilege of seeing what happened in their life. Sometimes we may not even see it in our lifetime because we're not going to live in that part of it, of the time spectrum. Our life is going to end, and we're just not going to see, you know, certain aspects of our legacy lived out. But here we see Jesus' legacy. And we get to see what happened to Peter. We get to see how James and John responded to the legacy. Right now, it looks like they're failing. But when you begin to look further in the scripture, like over in Acts chapter 2, man, I tell you what, I get excited when I see that. On the day of Pentecost, when it fully came, and that, where are they? They're in the upper room. This ragtag bunch that couldn't even pray. Are you kidding me? This group that couldn't even pray for 1 hour, now they've gone to Jerusalem and they're praying indefinitely. Come on, man. They couldn't stick with it an hour, and now they're just tarrying. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and tarry. Well, how long? How long? Most people are going to ask you that. Well, how long? What's the ETA? Holy Ghost, when you showing up? You just go till he shows up. Well, how do we know he's going? You'll know. You'll know. Like, we ain't never seen it before. You ain't ever seen anything like this, I guarantee you. He will show up. So when you go, and now that group that couldn't even pray an hour is praying indefinitely. They're just waiting. And Holy Ghost shows up. And man, I tell you what, when he showed up, I want you to listen to this. Verse 14, chapter 2 of Acts. And then Peter stepped forward. Are you kidding me? The guy, when the little girl said, "Hey, I recognize you. You were with the Galilean. You were with Jesus." He's like, "Girl, you need to get on out of here now. I don't know what you're talking about." "Yes, you were. I remember you. You talk like I saw you." And he's like, "I'm telling you one time. I'm telling you two times. You need to get out of my face, little girl. Hey, I know you said you weren't with him, but I know." He's like, "Girl, I'm fixing to slap the taste out your mouth." And he curses. You know? And he's like, "Oh my. This guy is the one in Acts chapter 2 where I'm telling you, I love these words. And then Peter stepped forward." When the Holy Spirit descended, like Jesus said it would, and everybody's saying, "And these people are a bunch of crazy folks. They're drunk. It's, you know, midday. They're sloshed." Peter stepped forward and said, "Hey, listen, this is not what you think it is. What you are seeing right here is the power of God demonstrated. It's the Shekinah glory of God. Let me tell you the story." And he goes back and he says, "Our father Abraham and Moses and all the way down through all the patriarchs to Jesus. And then Jesus, he lays down his life. The very one that you crucified just a short time ago, he is risen. He is coming again. He is the Lord of all of the earth. And if you don't get your heart right with God, you're going to die and burn in hell." Now, I'm paraphrasing. He's like, but he said, "If you don't get your heart right with God, you're going to be lost forever. But the good news is this, that he died for every person. And if you'll accept him today." And here's what the good news is they said, "What do we got to do?" Yeah. I love that. I like that. They said, they stepped forward. The people that he was preaching to said, they're just listening, man. And they're like, "What do we have to do? How do I sign up?" And that day, the scripture says, I think it's verse 41, somewhere down here. Let me look. Verse 41 is beautiful. It's fruit from legacy. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 people in all. Like, this is the guy that denied him. This is the guy that couldn't stay asleep or awake for an hour to pray. This is that failure. That failure is the one who the legacy took root. And when the people began to accuse, he's the one that stepped forward. And I didn't read the other part. It said he stepped forward with all the other 11 disciples. And he's like, "Come on, boys, this is our time to shine." And they stood up and they preached the gospel. 3,000 plus people got saved that day. This is the power of legacy. Yeah. The people who it looked like didn't get it, got it. The people it looked like that they were failing in the basics, they were actually the ones who ended up thriving. And every person in this room today, every single one of us in this room today, are attributed our faith to those guys. Yeah. Ultimately to Jesus. But those guys, those are the ones that Jesus entrusted to. What did they came to him. Now, you understand, these are the guys that Jesus, he's teaching them to pray. He's taught them to pray. He's modeled them to pray. They even went to him and asked him, "Can you teach us how to pray?" And Jesus, he said, "Well, this is how you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." You know, you get the Lord's Prayer. That, it's the instruction manual. It's not the prayer. I think, Alan, you even said that recently in one of your messages. It's not the prayer. No disrespect, but I have a friend that he wants to recite the Lord's Prayer all the time. And it's like, you know, I'm just telling y'all how I am. I'm not saying I'm perfect, and I'm not even saying it's right. But whenever he's like, "All right, it's time for us to wrap up." And he starts off, "Our Father," and he wants us to go, "Our Father, which art in heaven, which art in heaven. I'm just going to be honest with you. My eyes roll. They do. I get convicted over it, but my eyes do roll a little bit. Because here's what it is. It's like pulling out the instruction manual and reading the instructions. It's like, I don't want to read the instructions of how to operate the car. Let's just get in the car and go. You know what I'm saying? And I'm no disrespect to my friend. And of course, if you're watching, I love you. You know, it's no disrespect to my friend, but it's like we've turned that into the prayer. Jesus, no, that's just the instruction. That's just the skeleton. It's just the outline. So when he says, hey guys, this is how we pray. And I need to, I guess, move on to this one. This is how we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. Like, we come to you in your name. Like, I'm just telling you, if you don't know the names of God, if you don't know his name, God ain't his name. I mean, we refer to him as God. But that's like Brian saying, hey person, come on. Like, I mean, we do, because that's just how we've been raised. We just refer to God as God. But he has a name. And you know, like, I have multiple names. You have multiple names. There's so many names of me that you don't know. Did you know that my name's Doodlebug? Miss Richardson, my next door neighbor, named me Doodlebug. I don't know why, but that's what she called me my whole life. So if I ever hear the word Doodlebug, Miss Richardson comes to mind. My name is Toot. My name is Tootie. Got all these names. My name is Rife. My name is Ralph. For people who can't pronounce my name, that's what one of my childhood mom's friends called me, Ralph, my whole life, because she could never say my name. I got so many names. So many names. God has so many names. When you know the name of the person, it brings the significance. So when I said to my daughter weeks ago, who is suffering from anxiety in that moment, I said, man, our Father, Jehovah Shalom, God of peace, God of tranquility, God that your peace is the kind of peace that passes the understanding of men. Your peace is the kind of peace that that usurps anxiety, that takes back and casts down that high thought, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Yeah. Like, my God is a God of peace. When we pray, you know, when we come to him in his name, like, there's certain parts of God's character that I'm coming to. Like, that, like, God is my banner. He's my protector. He's my defender. Like, I don't need peace right now. Like, there's certain moments I don't need peace. I need protection. And, you know, I was praying the other night. This was at the women's retreat. And I heard the enemy speak to me during my prayer time. And we were singing a song, and I was singing it over my family. I was singing it over my children, you know, because every parent, that's their tender spot. You know, if you want to, my kids are my tender spot. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, man, I'm praying over my children. I'm singing this song over my children, and I'm weepy, and I'm just like, you know, feeling all like tender and, you know, like, oh, daddy, cuddle me in your arms, you know, kind of like my father cuddle me as daddy, because that's my tender things right there. And I heard the voice of the enemy speak to me so clear. And he's like, you are so pathetic. This is in my worship now. I'm like, you are so pathetic. Having to have your daddy cuddle you over your children. And man, I tell you what, the power of God came upon me. And I began to pray in the Spirit. And I knew exactly what I was praying in the Spirit. Usually when the Spirit is praying through us, we don't know what the Spirit is praying, but Holy Spirit gave me the ability to know exactly what he's praying. And man, this forcefulness of the Spirit came over me, and I heard Holy Spirit saying, do not confuse his love for his children and his affection for his Father as weakness. Come on, man. Come on. Like, you need to understand who you're dealing with. You need to understand who you're dealing with. And I don't go to my Father because of weakness. I go to my Father because I need him. And that's a difference there. Like, I'm not weak. In my weakness, I'm even strong. And so I felt this power come over me, and my whole worship changed from one of, you know, I'm just receiving affection from my Father, to now I'm a warrior, you know? And now it's like, hey, boy, you don't want to mess with this. You do not want to mess with this. Don't mess with this. I'm not some feeble, broken, you know, pathetic individual crying over my kids. I'm lamenting in this fatherly love for my children. And I'm saying to my God, you know, God, watch over my kids. Thank you for watching over my kids. Thank you for protecting them, God. Thank you that, you know, I will see them living in the goodness of God. You know, I'm all of that. And so, you know, as we look at like creating this legacy of prayer, how do I do that? Number one, we got to know our identity. We've got to know who he is, and we have to know who we are. Yeah. This is important. We've just, in this whole series, we've talked about legacy. We've talked about identity. That's what Joey talked to us, integrity, identity. But we've got to know, like, who we are. We've got to know who he is. Because you don't know who you are until you know who he is. Like, when you know God and who he is, God is all those names. That's why Jesus, when he was teaching them how to pray, he's like, hey, you got to come to the Father in his name. You got to pray to the Father in his name. You got to know what he gives you access to. Like, he's the one who has the answers to wisdom. He's the one who has provision. He's the peacemaker. He's the peace speaker. He's all of these things. He's your defender. He's all of these things. So what you need, you got to know who the source is. Have you ever needed something in life? Like, it could be anything, just a tool or a part to a piece of equipment that you need. And it's like, I know what I need, but I don't know who to call. Sometimes I'll just go on Facebook and say, hey, does anybody know and how somebody that can help me figure out whatever? I don't know who to go to. So I just toss it out there, and somebody else goes, oh yeah, I know Bert. You know, here's his phone number. You can call him. I'm just telling you, we all know our Bert. If you are a child of God and we know our God, we know what we can go to him for. And so we go to him and we pray, God, this is who you are, God. And then we know who we are. We know our identity. Here's the thing. Jesus said this. He said, listen, I've been given all power and authority. So I want you to go, and I want you to do it in my name. So what now do we have? We have power and authority. So when we pray, if we're passing a legacy on to our children, to people in our workplace, to anybody, if we're passing a legacy on of prayer, this is what we're teaching them. Hey, you know you can do this too. Hey, I know you can come to me, but the day that I'm going to be super excited is when you're doing it yourself, when you're walking on your own two feet, when you take authority over the devil. Like, listen, I'm just telling you, I can't handle all of your devils. I'm not that super pastor. I can't handle all your devils. I'm not made to handle all your devils. Like, there are some things in our lives as Christians where it's like, hey, buddy, you know, I'll just use Larry as an example. Again, all these are hypothetical. Hey, Larry, that's great. Don't come to me and ask me to pray for you about that again, okay? Because, buddy, this is it. You know this. This is who he is. This is who you are. That's something that you can handle on your own. Now, I'm all about prayer, and I'm all about partnering with prayer. But there are some things I don't need prayer partnering. I don't need prayer partnering over this, because these are little devils. These are just little devils. These are little things. And you understand what I'm saying. They're in the demonic realm, just like the angelic, the spiritual realm. In the demonic realm, there's rulers, authorities, and powers and principalities in high places. Like, there's an echelon. There's a hierarchy. And there's some devils, like, I don't need help with. Like, dude, I got this. I've dealt with this my whole life. I understand this. I understand. And then there are some devils that they have more power. They have greater authority. And I'm like, this one, I need some help with. I need to reach out. I need to partner with people. So I'm all for that. But as prayer warriors, basically, we need to know the authority that we have. We need to know the identity of who our God is, because we are everything that He says we can have and He is. If you don't know that, you are going to be severely handicapped in your prayer life. You're going to be severely handicapped in your life, period. So please, whatever you do, this is the number one on the list that I've got here. Know who God is and know who you are. Because whatever He is, you are made in His image. And so if He's power, you're power. If He's creative, you're creative. If He's peace, you're peace. If He's compassionate, you're compassionate. If he's wealthy, you're wealthy. Are you following me?
Yeah.
And please don't make me go into explaining wealth, because everybody thinks of money. It's so much more than that. Second thing is this: connection. Like, I can tell people who pray that they have no connection to God. I can just tell it, man. I need to hurry up and finish this message. I'll have people, man, they'll pray, and I'm like, sit down. Because there is no connection with this Father there. There's no connection with the Spirit. And then I can tell when people, it's like, whoa, dude, they've been with Jesus. I can tell they know how to pray. I can tell there's a regularity there. There's a consistency there with their prayer life. You know, and I'm not talking about like, ooh, they pray the best and the most elaborate prayer. No, I'm just telling you, it just cuts through all the bull. It just cuts through all the mess. And it's like, whoa. That wasn't eloquent. It didn't even sound educated, but that was powerful.
Yeah.
Are you following me? Because there are people who have a connection. I was in multiple National Day of Prayer things this week, and I went up to a lady at one of the things, and I said, I just want to say, man, this was so good. And some of you guys were at that. I said, this was so good. And I said, so I've been in multiple ones, and I'm all the time in city things where people are praying. And I said, you know what? Here it felt real.
Yeah.
Here it felt real. It's not that the other places didn't say the same thing you guys were saying, but it's real because y'all really live this stuff out, and you're connected with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You can tell when somebody, man, you just need a personal connection. A personal connection is not hard. It is not hard. As a matter of fact, a personal connection is as easy as it can be. I'm about to be with some friends that I love and built 4 years of incredible relationship when I was in college. They were my best friends when I was in college. I haven't seen them in probably 7 or 8 years. Shay and I are fixing to go on vacation with them. And we just decided, hey, it's been a long time. We want to go on vacation with you. Dude, I'm telling you what, these are the kind of people, and I hope I'm that to them, that even though I haven't seen them in 7 years, we're going on vacation together.
Yeah.
And it just feels like, boom. It's not that we haven't talked in 7 years. I haven't laid eyes on them in 7 years. And it's such a beautiful feeling because we have that connection. When you have a connection, you don't have to work at it. It's really easy. When you have a connection with God, it's not hard to strike up a conversation with Him. I don't have to be in the... I'm telling you what, I've prayed to God when I have the wrong attitude. Y'all ever done that? Some people won't pray to God because they have the wrong attitude. Well, that's dumb. No, you go to God however you are. If you're wrong, you go to God. If you got a bad attitude, you go to God. If you got a good attitude, you go to God. If you feel with the Spirit, you go to God. If you know, whatever, feeling good, go to God. You just go because you're in connection with Him. And when I go to Him and I'm not in the right attitude, frame of mind, He just says it to me in our conversation. I'm like, God, kill him. I'm serious. Just kill them. I don't even know why you created them. None of y'all pray that way. And you understand I'm being hyperbolic. I don't really pray for God to kill people. But spiritually, like I told you, I shared a story with you, a real life story, where I was praying one day for these two things. And I'm praying and I'm saying, you know, God, why don't you just do this? I don't want to deal with this. Why don't you do this? Yeah. And the Lord, I mean, this is how I talk to God. I'm irritated. I don't want to do this. I don't want these people in my house that are coming. I don't want them in my house. Like, I'm going to let them in my house, but I don't want them in my house. Can you just figure out a way for them not to come? And Jesus said to me, well, why don't you figure out a way to love them? Right? Because I don't want to. But that's who you are. That's who I am, and that's who you are. And I'm like, you're right. I still don't want them. I know, but you're going to do the right thing, right? Yes. Why are you going to do that? Because if I love you, I obey your commandments. You know, I promise you, in that, I feel the Holy Spirit on me when I'm saying this. In that moment, God is just teaching me and loving me in my funky attitude. See, I don't have to pretend that I like it. I don't have to pretend with him because he already knows. He sees me to the core. I'm naked before him. I don't have to be anything. But he loves me so much that he's like, come on, we'll talk. I'll talk you through this. I'll walk you through this. And you'll get it eventually. Why? Because we're in connection. And that connection for me is so easy. It's so easy. It wasn't always, but it's so easy for me to get in connection with God. And listen, I might be in the wrong heart and attitude at the time, but it's okay. If your heart's in the wrong place, but you're rooted in the right place, by the time you finish the conversation with God, he'll work out that. He'll show you. He will show you. And if you don't get it in that conversation, Holy Ghost loops back around. He's like, hey, I just wanted to talk to you about that conversation we were having. I don't think you really got it. You heard me, but you didn't hear me. And he'll come back, man. He loops back around. This is the third thing is priority. Man, we need to make prayer a priority in our life, in our home, in everywhere that we are. Everywhere that we are. And I'm telling you what, when you begin to do this, and I can guarantee you, everybody that's either watching or in this room, you are not making a prayer a priority in your world. That's not a condemning type thing that I'm trying to put out there. It's a challenge. You are at a place where prayer is just not a priority in every aspect of your life, like in every aspect. But I'm telling you what, when prayer becomes a priority, you'll pray anywhere. You'll pray anywhere. At the gas pump, you'll pray at in the locker room, at the gym, you'll pray with the guys you serve out on a fire. You'll pray anywhere. You'll pray anywhere. And you just don't care what they think about you because it's a priority for you. Right. And if you'll seize those priorities, you know, if you'll make it a priority and you begin to seize those moments that God creates for you, because there's moments for prayer all throughout your day, especially with your children. But see, we don't all have children in here, or we all don't have little children. But if you got little children, there's prayer times all the time because they'll come and they'll present stuff to you. And it's like, you know, well, let's pray about it. Let's pray about it. Let's take it to God. What are you doing? You're laying a foundation for them to take their needs to the Lord. Everything, cast your care on the Lord. Put all your burdens on the Lord. And you're making a priority of it. See, we need our kids to be able to let us see us pray in moments that are not like problems. Like, see, they've seen us talk about, they don't need to hear us talk about our problems. They need to see us pray about our problems. And they also need us to pray when we're not having problems. Yeah. When prayer is only a priority when there are problems, that sounds when prayer is only a priority when there are problems, that's a problem. Like, kids need to see us pray when nothing is going wrong. Kids need to see us pray. People in our world need to see us pray. People that we lead need to see us pray. When it's not just, oh crap, It just hit the fan. We got to pray. We got to get, you know. They need to see us pray in times where it's like, man, that was a victory for us. Come on, man. Let's give God just the honor for what just happened here. So priority. Make sure that as you leave a legacy, you're making prayer a priority. Our kids need to hear us praying, dads. Our kids need to hear us praying, moms. Like, they need to hear us praying. Like, they need to hear us pray about things that are problems. They need to hear us pray about things that are celebrations. They need to hear us pray about things that we're anticipating. They need to hear us pray. Not only that, I don't think this is up there, but I'm going to put it right here. They need to hear us pray in the Spirit. The Scripture says pray in the Spirit at all times. Now, we ain't at a Baptist church, and we ain't at a Catholic church, and we're not at a Methodist church. We're at a Pentecostal, full gospel, apostolic, Holy Ghost-filled church. We're not ashamed. We believe in it. We're praying in the Spirit. We are baptized in the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, as the Scripture says, and that is not closed. My kids know I will throw down in some Holy Ghost praying. Yeah. They know. As a matter of fact, I said to Noah one time when he was little, something came up on TV and I can't remember what it was, but it bothered him. And I said, hey, buddy, we don't have to worry. Like, we don't have to be fearful about stuff. I said, I'm just telling you. If something like that happened to Daddy, Daddy would just pray, and I'd just be praying in tongues over that situation. And I mean, he's little; he's like four, and he's like, Daddy, I don't do tongues. And it's like, well, your daddy does, and one day you will. But I'm like, our kids need to hear us praying in the Holy Spirit, and I'm telling you what: when we pray, we also need to use wisdom. See, our kids, they hear us talking a lot about things, but they don't see us really praying in wisdom. I never talked to my children when they were growing up about situations in my life. I never talked to my children about people I was having a problem with. I never talked to my children or in front of my children about financial issues that Shay and I might have been having. See, in my house, one of the legacies that my parents left me was a spirit of poverty. It was a legacy, a very bad one, that they left for me. A spirit of poverty, a spirit of lack. So I grew up with this spirit of poverty on me that I didn't even know what it was. See, you ain't even got to know what it is to have it. And that's with anything. You ain't even got to know what a spirit of lust is to have it. Until you know that what that is, and you can call it out and you can come against it. But the reason I had a spirit of poverty and they left that legacy is because they always talked about how we don't have, we don't know how we're going to make it, all of this. You see? I'm not saying that they did it on purpose. They did it inadvertently. But they're building a negative legacy for me. And they're like, well, we don't know how we're going to make it. We don't know where we're going to get it from. And I'm like 4, 5, 6 years old. And I'm always hearing this anxiety in the house. I'm always hearing this nervousness in the house. I'm always hearing this worry in the house. And so what do? I grow up in anxiety and worry and lack. And, you know, there's not enough. And that stuff, it'll attack you in some of the weirdest ways, where you know you get a box of cereal, and it's like, well, I just want to eat 3 bowls because I can and because I want to, and there's nobody else here. But a spirit of poverty. I'm being serious with you. This truly is a spirit of poverty. Well, I can't eat it all right now. I have to save some for later. No, just eat the whole thing if you want. Is anybody following me? I'm not advocating for you to go eat 3 bowls of cereal. What I'm advocating is a spirit of poverty will attack you in every minuscule part of your life. And it'll always make you feel this or that or whatever. Well, we need to use wisdom as we pray. We need to use wisdom. There are things I need to pray about that I can't pray in a certain way in front of a 6-year-old, a 12-year-old. There are certain things I can pray that I can't even pray in front of adults in certain ways. I've told people parts of my prayer group, listen, there are things I can't pray in this group. I don't mean to be too harsh. There are things I can't pray in this group because everybody ain't at the level of prayer that this needs to be prayed. And I'm not sure I trust everybody in this group. Come on. Because the level of this prayer, I need some folks that know what they're doing that ain't playing church. I appreciate you coming to men's group every now and then, but I need more at this level of prayer. I appreciate this, that, or the other, and I appreciate all the times that you said, man, Pastor Ralph, I'm there for you. But I'm telling you what, this is so private, this is so intimate, this is so tender that I'm like, I really need to know. So you got to use wisdom. That's why people will pray, and then before you know it, 18 people know your stuff. And that's why people get hurt in church. So when we pray, we got to be people of wisdom. Why? Because he is wisdom, so I am wisdom. Fifth thing here, I'm trying to wrap it up. We are people of power. When we pray, I'm just telling you, man, I've come to the place, I don't pray weak prayers. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, is what the Word of God says. I just remember, and I'll protect the name of my family member because, you know, or even the identity of my family member. But, you know, I'd go to them, you know, and we would pray. And I'm like, I feel so discouraged. I came to you to pray with me about this, and I don't know, I'm not even sure there's a God. I mean, we're praying, and I'll have certain ones that'll come to me for prayer. And had one come to me and they wanted to pray because they had a lump on their breast. And so I'm like, well, let's pray over that. I said, you know, the Lord can heal that. I hope he can. What? You have been a Christian the majority of your life and those words just came out of your mouth. You hope he can? And so they begin to pray. They're like, Lord, I want you. I hope you'll take this. And just, Lord, it's nothing. And I'm hoping tomorrow, you know. And I just stopped them. And I said, those are not the kind of prayers we pray. This is how we're going to pray. With the authority that's invested in me by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, I speak to that whatever that spot is. You can be a cyst, you can be a cancerous tumor, I don't care what you are, but you are an invader in this body, and I command you to leave right now in Jesus' name. Yeah. Tomorrow when you go to the doctor, this is going to be nothing. When you come out of that, you're going to receive a good report. And you know, so it's a different kind of prayer. We pray with power, we pray with authority because we can, because it's been invested in us. Whenever I pronounce someone husband and wife, by the authority that's been given to me by the state of Alabama, I now pronounce you husband and wife. By the authority that Jesus Christ gave me to go and do these things, I command this right now in Jesus' name. I speak it with authority. We speak it with power. And then this is the last thing, courage. The scripture when it said, and Peter stepped forward. Like, are you kidding me? This is the guy that cowered just a short time ago. This is the guy who, if you want anybody on your team, you don't want that guy because you're not sure he's going to be there when it's time to rise to the occasion. No, man, he stepped forward. When it comes to prayer and us praying and leaving a legacy for whomever, like, we got to have courage. And I'm just telling you, this is something that irritates me. This is fixing to hurt. It irritates me about people in our church. It irritates me about some of my friends in ministry. But when it's like, let's pray. Well, the person just said, let's pray. Sometimes I'm even in a prayer gathering. We ought to be tripping over people to pray. Let us pray. Somebody lead us out. Chirp, chirp, crickets, crickets, 10 seconds, 15 seconds. What? Why are we not doing what the man of God just asked us to do? Like, why are we not stepping up to the plate? It's because there's a spirit of intimidation that, if we'll be honest, that spirit affects us. It'd be like, oh, you don't want to be the first one. He tells me that all the time. Rife, you don't want to be the dude who is always the first one. Why not? Why not? I don't have to be the first one, but if y'all ain't going to say anything, I'll step up. And like I said, we ought to be tripping over, fumbling over each other. Let's pray. It's like, hey, we can't all pray at one. All right, so Hunter, you go. Like, that's how I feel like we should be at prayer, because that's how I feel about prayer. Prayer is not something that you, that it's like, oh, it's delicate. Let's be, it's rice paper. Let's be tender how we pick it up. No, grab that thing. It's a bull by the horns, and you go with it. Because the enemy... Listen, demons are not afraid to pray. Do demons pray? Absolutely they do. Do we pray? Do demonic believers pray? People who believe in Wiccan, occult, all, do they pray? Absolutely they do. And you don't have to get like wonder, speculate if they are going, I don't know if I feel comfortable in this setting praying that Lord Satan's agenda is pushed. They'll be like, y'all get out of the way. And they will pray with the authority that they've been given. And they have been given authority from their father of lies. So say this with me. A legacy of prayer leads someone to a lifetime of victories. If you want to teach your company, the people you manage, people in your family, your children, how to be successful, then I promise you, if you leave a legacy of prayer, they're always going to have a trove of victories at their hand. This is like what, 4 ways you can quickly jot down or take a snap of the screen that you can literally take this message and you can go live this out. Number 1, seize prayer opportunities every day. Every day you will have prayer opportunities. Yeah. Seize them. All right? That means pray with people on the spot. Yep. The lady at the grocery store told you that her back's hurting. You've got 3 customers in line behind you. I'm going to tell you what to do. Hey, I'm sorry that you're going through that. Let me say a quick prayer for you. Jesus, heal her back in Jesus' name. Amen. That's it. That's it. You ain't got the people freaking out behind you because you're speaking in tongues over. You hadn't got to give her a word from the Lord. You just gave her a word from the Lord. You ain't got, you see what I'm saying? Like, it's that fast, that simple. Number 3, pray regularly without it becoming a ritual. Like, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be, you know, not that. Pray regularly. Pray regularly. God, I'm fixing to go into work today. These people are about to get on my nerves. Help me, Father, to be the best reflection of you that I can be. All right? That's praying regularly. It's staying in connection with the Lord. I set reminders in my phone all the time. Because if you don't, you'll forget things to pray. This is one of the most important things in my life. I've said today, wasn't one of the most important things in my life. I've said it. My children. So you'd think, man, I won't forget to pray for them. They're the most, absolutely I do. So what do I have? I have reminders in my phone to pray. Like, specifically for Noah, specifically for Savannah. And it'll go off and it'll say, pray. And I'm like, oh, glad I set that. Set reminders in your phone to pray regularly for people and things that you need. Number four, this is it. Join a prayer group. Like, we have a prayer group coming up Tuesday. This is not a shameless plug for that. But if you want to, we've got one coming up Tuesday night, and it's every first and third Tuesday of the month. But just join a group, any small group. Join groups that you can pray with about people's needs and stuff. All right? So these are ways that, like, if you will, you can go out of here and you can begin leaving that legacy. So let me pray over you. And if there's anybody that wants to pray about anything specific in your life, our prayer team is going to be down front. And you can come in and pray after I release us. And they'll help you pray over any situation that you've got. But Lord, this is my prayer today. First, that everybody in this house and everybody who's watching today, that you would be in connection with the Father. That just means that you're in a real relationship with Him. It's not a religious relationship. It's a real relationship. Jesus loves you just like you love your family members who aren't perfect and who get on your last nerve. Jesus loves you just like you are. But He's constantly going to be challenging you to become more like Him. Be in real connection with Him. Accept Him as your Savior, but also make Him Lord of your life. If you're not there and you haven't submitted every part of your life to the Lord, just work on it. I just challenge you. Let Him have everything. And then I ask you, Lord Jesus, as we accept You and we are in right relationship with You, I pray, God, that You develop a relationship with us. That, God, we hear Your voice so loud. Because the longer you are in relationship with someone, you recognize their voice. And You said that Your sheep will know Your voice. And God, we need to know Your voice because Satan has disguised his voice. He's like one of those comedians or impersonators that he sounds like God. He even uses Scripture to make us think that it's the voice of God. Lord, we need to know Your voice. Speak to us in this congregation. Build relationships with us and us with You that we know Your voice so clear that we don't have to go, now, was that God? Let me call Pastor and see, was that God? We know it was God because we've tested it with Your word and we've tested it through our connection with You. In the beautiful name of Jesus, amen.